This is New England Public Media. Some states are dropping their mask mandates, but Massachusetts residents must keep masking up, and the latest COVID-19 numbers in the state are causing some concern. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts, as we do most Mondays. We've got Matt Murphy from the State House News Service on the line. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Carrie.
An upswing in cases of late in COVID-19 in Massachusetts. That positivity rate of tests is on the rise. The health director in Yarmouth told the Globe yesterday he worried this could be the start of a third wave. Governor Charlie Baker's noted many of these cases are in folks under age 40 who are better able to fight off the disease. So would the case numbers need to grow significantly for the governor to reimpose some restrictions?
Yes, probably, though. It is hard to say. We've never really gotten full insight into exact metrics that causes the governor to go up or down, relax, or tighten restrictions. What we know is that over a good stretch of time, we saw the number of new cases, number of hospitalizations coming down. And as you mentioned, the governor relaxed some of the gathering limits, some of the business restrictions. He has defended those moves. The state has seen a plateauing of those numbers, and now we're seeing case counts and other metrics start to climb. But I think what we've heard the governor talk repeatedly about is the capacity of the hospital system to save lives and to care for people if it gets worse. And right now, the hospital numbers are way below peak numbers. So I think you'd have to see something dramatic change for the governor to act. But the governor has also prided himself on being able to pivot quickly, even though people would have, there are some public health experts who would have liked him to have just stayed strict for another few weeks, another month or so, while the vaccination effort gets stronger and more people get the shot. The governor says he is willing to continue to monitor these numbers and react if necessary.
Flipping over to the vaccine side of things, the so-called vaccination passports. We've seen some conflicting words from the governor over his views of a post-virus world. Can you talk a little bit about where Baker is now on the so-called vaccine passport?
Yeah, it's not clear that he's quite ready to do this. I think it's certainly something we've got the impression from him that he would like to see the feds take the lead on, more of a national effort if this is going to come to pass. What we do know about these vaccine passports is that there are a lot of private companies developing them. They're all different. There's different security measures and concerns that come with these passports. When the governor relaxed the travel restrictions and turned the travel order into an advisory, he did say that people who were vaccinated and could prove that can come into Massachusetts without you know, having to quarantine or show proof of a negative test. But right now, a lot of this is being done on the honor system. So there is some interest there. I think there's just still a lot of questions about how to do it and do it well.
Yeah, and we saw Governor Lamont in Connecticut. He said last week he's not interested in a vaccine passport, for now at least, calling it fundamentally unfair. Also late last week, Senate President Karen Spilka addressed a closed gathering of business executives and provided an outline of legislation that she wants to address in the coming months in the Senate. What are they? And do those align, or do they need to align, with the to-do list of Speaker of the House Ron Mariano?
Well, the two leaders certainly need to be on the same page if things are going to move. But I wouldn't necessarily look at both of the lists that they're articulating in public and say that if they're not saying the same words, then it's not going to happen. Senate President Spilka talking to the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, outlining things like an overhaul of child care and how child care and daycare services get funded in Massachusetts. Days earlier, we heard the speaker mention the same thing, saying it was getting higher on his radar after talking to Spilka and Governor Baker about this. On taxes as well, the president saying that she does not think now is the time to raise taxes. The speaker is in a similar position. But if you look last week, the speaker also giving a major speech to a business group, the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, and talking about jobs, particularly jobs in the clean energy industry and the offshore wind industry. He's talking about using his budget to direct funds to job training, as well as a large-scale bonding effort. We saw efforts last session for increased taxes to pay for climate mitigation and adaptation projects stall when it got to the Senate. Former Speaker Bob DeLeo wanted to do a major borrowing initiative that didn't go anywhere. Of course, that was also the year of COVID, which sidetracked a lot of things, but this is one to watch to see if the president, who has not talked about creating a big borrowing program to support clean energy work, whether or not the Senate and President Spilka are able to collaborate with the House.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Matt, thanks as always.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from New England Public Media at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast hub. This is New England Public Media.